Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
It's a pitch play to Cook. Dives, reaches for the end zone, and he's got it! He is in for the touchdown! What an amazing effort by Cook, who is back in the kitchen. Mahomes on a keeper, has a blocker in front, down to the five, leaping for the end zone, and he's in. A 10-yard touchdown run by Patrick Mahomes, and the lead goes back to the Chiefs. Allen looking, fires, and it's complete to Curtis Samuel for the touchdown. Fourth and goal is good for Buffalo. This is a 35-yard attempt for Butker from dead center. Snap by Winchester, hold by Ariza, kick is up. And it is good. So with 3:33 left, the Chiefs are up by a field goal, 32-29. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champion to go back to a third straight Super Bowl to try to win an unprecedented third Super Bowl title.
The sounds from Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Hi, everybody. Sal Capaccio here. It is a Buffalo Football Monday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, you can already hear it in my voice, right? It's a tough one. Always a tough one to do. We'll let you know early here. It is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. I am not wearing a Victory Monday shirt because it is Locker Cleanout Monday. I mean, the extremes of what today, this morning, could have been with a victory versus what it is weighed heavily on me all week. And here we are talking about the negative extreme and the extreme that, quite frankly, hurts very badly here in Buffalo once again. Another Buffalo sports heartbreak added on to the many years of Buffalo sports heartbreaks and instances and moments of the past. This one wasn't without its defining moments, that's for sure. It also didn't come down to the last play of the game or 13 seconds. There were plays at the end that could have and should have been made. But this was one that from the beginning of the game, you felt like it just wasn't going your way. Until the Bills got the lead. They took the lead twice. The Bills had the lead in the AFC Championship with less than 11 minutes to play. They were less than 11 minutes away from playing for a Super Bowl championship. And then it got away. And that's been the repeated story in some way, shape, or form against the Kansas City Chiefs four times in 5 years. We've seen this team beat them in the regular season 4 years in a row. And now we've seen them lose in the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. All those things that the Chiefs fans and media say about that's the regular season, it doesn't matter, are pretty much true, right? I mean, they can matter if you want to beat them to get here home field, and that's what you're trying for. But the Bills had that last year. Still lost that game and this game. And here they are again for the second time in 5 seasons, losing after being 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl. There are so many things we can get to today. We can go big picture, we can go small picture. I think that it's all on the table. I'm hurting like you, I'll be honest. I wanted this personally. I wanted this professionally. I wanted it for you, for this community, for the fans. I mean, who didn't, right? I mean, there's going to be so many different levels of fans and fandom to take this in. And some will, it won't matter as much emotionally. I think for the great majority of you, though, it's a very, very, very tough day. It certainly was for me. We got back last night on the team charter at 3 a.m. There were probably about, 40, 50 people at the airport. Would have been 400 or 500 at the team one, I'm sure, at 3 a.m. Cheering the team and proud of them and all that. And it's great. And no doubt, a lot of things to celebrate along the way this year and about having this team. But you just keep going back to, will it ever happen now? For really the better part of the last 3 years, I've kind of thought, yeah, it will. Like it will. You can't keep playing that team every year and having them win and then playing against them and then beating you in the end of your season. But here we are again. And we can talk about yesterday's game specifically, right? The offense. Not being able to move the ball early in the game, not being able to move the ball at the end of the game to get in position to win. We can talk about the defense. Once again, not being able to put pressure on Patrick Mahomes enough and allowing too many big plays, not forcing stops. All of that is true. I think what happens in games like this, what happens at the end of the season, and really what happens every week, but especially when you just try to make sense of it all, is there's a... You got to blame one or the other. You got to blame the offense. You got to blame the defense. I mean, I think that both sides share a lot of blame in this one for different times of the game. And at several times, you could say the offense just wasn't good enough. No doubt. Beginning of the game especially, end of the game certainly. And at times, the defense wasn't good enough. They allowed the Kansas City Chiefs 21 points in the first half. The Kansas City Chiefs hadn't scored over 30 all year until yesterday. That's not good enough. 3 touchdowns in the first half allowed. You can blame coaching. I don't think there were any game management decisions that cost this team yesterday. You could definitely argue the, going for two, but I understand those, the reasoning behind those. But scheme, game plan, all of it. Like that falls on Sean McDermott, Bobby Babich, Joe Brady. Special teams. There was a big punt return in this game that I haven't even heard much brought up. It was a big factor. That's hurt this team all year. Live on Facebook, by the way, if you want to join there, you can check me out. I am sitting inside the Buffalo Bills radio broadcast booth right now. And the reason is because I need to be down here at Highmark Stadium to head over to locker cleanout. Just sucks even saying that. Sucks thinking about it, sucks saying that. I got to head over to locker cleanout at 11:30. So you'll get me for the next hour and a half. And then Zach and Josh will take over to take you up to noon. We'll hear from players. Some will be available, some won't. Really depends on, like I said, when they have their exit interviews and things like that. We will take your calls. 803-0550 is the number. And before I do it, I want to say that we've had a really, really great Monday reaction show, extra point show all season long. Whether we agree, disagree, you have questions, whatever it is. And I hope that's the case today. And I want to remind you what this show is always about. You're gonna be hurting today. You might be upset. You might be mad. You can vent. You can cry. You can ask questions. Whatever. I just ask that when you call, we keep it reasonable to the discussion. And, you know, I don't know. Just want to make sure I give you your time. I'll call. You get your time. And you can say what you need to say or vent or however you want to let it out. 803-0550. You're gonna need me today, and I'm going to need you. I think that's the way this goes, right? Where are we going to start? Let me see what we got here. Let's go. You know what? Clover is in Texas. She's been with us all year, and she always is. So we're going to start with you, Clover. Good morning.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Just want to, first off, thank you for all you do for us fans. I mean, I think your words right there in your monologue said it perfectly. You know, you wanted it for professionally for you to go to the Super Bowl and for us. And we feel that when you're talking. Really disappointed. We just came so close. I just, like, some of the coaching, I thought I was, you know, of course, frustrated by the calls, but we could have done better. I was surprised that they kept sticking with the tush push. I just thought, like, you know, they didn't have another play that they could run. I was thinking, like, put Reggie Gilliam, you know, out in space, maybe blocking, you know, that could have been effective. It just, I was kind of surprised they stuck with, because you said Allen was like 2 for 5 or something on that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, could have played better. Like to see James Cook on the final drive. And then, yeah, I guess we just start thinking about next year, look different, but I just wanted to say, we just really appreciate you, especially being here today. I know it's very tough. You had a long day and night. Appreciate you taking our calls, and hopefully we'll be back next year.
You got it, Clover. Thanks for sticking with us all year. Thanks for calling. Don't be a stranger.
Thanks, Sal. Take care.
All right, you got it. Listen, the tush push play, the quarterback sneak, the first thing I wrote down, normally when I do arrow up, arrow down, you can find that, by the way, at WGR550.com. When I do arrow up, arrow down, I don't do it according to like the number one, the number two, the number three thing. There are things that just stick in my head that I have to run through and I look at the stats. But I did kind of specifically put that as number one this morning as arrow down, because I just felt it was such a key moment and key point. Like, it was such a key part of the game. These failed tush pushes. And I agree 100% with Clover. Like, I actually, now on the radio broadcast, Chris Brown had suggested, we were in a break, and he said, man, I don't know if they can keep going to that. And I said, but it's their best play. It's been their best play all year. You just got to keep doing it. You got to get a yard and a half. You got to get a yard. You got to get a half yard. I agree with Clover looking back. Like, maybe there's something else you could have done. To me, it's how do you not get a half yard? How do you not get a yard? And we can debate the spots of it. And no doubt about it was controversial on the last one. But man, you got to be able to get a yard. It's your best play. The reason why the Bills got, you know, at the end of the L.A. game, when they lost and they were down there in the end zone at the goal line, both Sean McDermott and Joe Brady said, it's our best play. We're successful with that almost all the time. And they're not wrong about that. And it has been. And that's why they did it. And I understand. It felt like, though, it was just, we got Josh. This is Josh's time. We have to put it in Josh's hands. And he's got to do it. We got to move it with him. We got to score with him. And I get the fact that it's been your best play, but maybe at some point they should have changed it up, because that was, to me, the most crucial part of the game on offense for the Bills, not converting short yardages. And that wasn't just one. It was multiple. Not just the tush push either. Others. Let's go to Steve in Virginia. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call. Also, Greg Clover, you know, thanks for everything that you've done throughout the year for the, you know, us fans, like everything on the sidelines, all your reports, you know, always appreciated.
Thank you.
No problem. Hey, I just wanted to talk about both the offense and defense. The offense, yeah, I just, you know, was just frustrated just seeing the amount of passes that, you know, went, you know, that didn't go beyond the 6. It just seems like everything was, you know, behind, like, you know, the first down mark. I would have liked to seen, you know, more plays past that. You know, it just seems like it eventually caught up with the Bills. I mean, they were barely making the fourth down conversions, and then when we really needed it, you know, the team wasn't able, you know, to convert. And then with defense, you know, this is four times in a row we played the Chiefs, and so far I think the defense has given up 38, 42, 27, and now 32 points. Now, I get it. Mm-hmm. There were injuries, but then again, there were injuries last year. At this point, so far into the season, yes, you know, I think every team should expect injuries, but I don't think it doesn't matter between Leslie Frazier, Babich, McDermott. The defense, I feel, still lets us down, you know, in the biggest moments, you know, and, you know, I'm just kind of frustrated with it, you know, but that's basically all, you know, I had to say. I mean, I appreciate what the team did. It was a transition year. A lot of people were thinking we were going to be third in the division. So, I mean, they made it, you know, this part of their 7th AFC championship game. You know, I just wish it could have been a little further.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for the call. Yeah, the throwing past the sticks, it did work, you know, with Mac Hollins a couple times. There were a few plays down the field. The Bills never really went to that. Middle of the field was open for them down the field a few times. They just couldn't get separation on the perimeter. Anything down the field could not take place on the sidelines. Let's go to Wes on a cell. Here you go, Wes. How are you? You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Tough day.
Appreciate you, all that you've done throughout the season. I'm down here in Kentucky, been a fan since 1989, so as a kid, so endured all of the hardships of the four in a row, and, you know, to see what they've done and accomplished when everyone said they were, you know, just not going to be competitive. I mean, that they overachieved to what everyone thought, but you get into this spot and you just hope they can make it over the hump. And I guess my question is, you know, with the play calling, and we can all say that, and I know hindsight, I heard even Brady say that after the Ravens game. You know, we've been ground and pound with the two teams, but, you know, Cook had 16 touches, almost 8.5 yards a touch, and why he doesn't get the ball on that last drive. I was he even out there?
No.
I didn't think so at all. And, you know, Ty Johnson's had some big moments, but, you know, that toss there, just at that point in time, I'm deflated that, you know, hey this is not good. And then you got to give the Chiefs credit, although two controversial calls that we all can say, but you got to get over that hump. We can't use those as excuse, but they dialed it up there with the blitz there at the end. And if Allen could have, you know, we saw the motion there with Shakir, and I thought, you know, just maybe wind addressing from a play before, but he could have, I feel like, could have made that first down. He was in space, but I know Allen couldn't get around to look at him. So just a tough play there. But the play calling, I don't know why. We had 3.5 minutes, 2 timeouts plus a 2-minute warning. How do you not do what you have said has been your bread and butter and run the ball with your lead back? And we had plenty of time, milk that clock, and do that. So I don't know why they went away from that there when it has been successful for them, especially in the other playoff games, although we wanted to see, I guess, more of them moving it with the Ravens. But Cook, man, that touchdown on the option there, he was just so good. Yeah, the tush push, and like, yeah. I said, when you were saying it's been successful, it's been good, but, you know, the Chiefs, again, I have to give them credit, man, nobody else has been able to stop that like they were able to, and give Cook the ball. He'd been great in open space, you know, but highly disappointed after, you know, being deflated. Enjoy your – I always love seeing on Twitter, follow you with the snap counts to look at everybody, but maybe we can figure out something else to get past this and not have to go through Kansas City and have it at Buffalo next time. But hands off to the team, and it's still a team, and live and die by this team, but, man, it's tough. But appreciate.
Yeah, I got you, Wes. So, you know what? You just remind me. I didn't do snap counts today. So with everything going on, maybe I'll post those during the break or something. But I appreciate you. Good call on that, though, with the play calling. The thing about the Ty Johnson sweep on the first play The Bills did get a first down after that because Allen scrambled for 13 yards on the next play. So I didn't mind that. But he's right about not having James Cook on the field. And my guess is once they got down under 3 minutes, they wanted to make sure that they, you know, they didn't want, I guess they wanted to make sure they also had a threat to pass the ball and have pass protection, I should say. And Ty Johnson's a better pass protector. And as good as James Cook is out of the backfield, Ty Johnson might be a little bit better. I'm not defending. I'm saying that maybe that's the reasoning, right? Maybe that's the reasoning. We haven't heard from Joe Brady about why James Cook wasn't on the field, but I agree. I thought they should have got to James Cook earlier in the game. He had four carries in the first half for 23 yards. Four. I mean, at the end of the day, he still had over, what, 5-6 yards a carry, something like that? 13 for 86, I think it was. So, yeah, I agree with that part of it. Steven in Florida. Hi, Steven.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Well, here we go again. Day after, not the conversation we want to be having, but it is what it is. So here's what I wanted to say. You know, you mentioned this in your introduction to the show today. The blame is all the way around. It's not just the offense or the defense. It's both. And I look at this game, you know, right from the outset, the Bills go three and out, and then the Chiefs just ran at will. They didn't even have a third down, and they scored. And right there I knew we were in trouble once we let the Chiefs get ahead. And I did have confidence in the Bills, you know, ability to come back. But, you know, the thing is, for me, one of the main things was that the Chiefs did what the Bills did, and as far as the defense putting pressure on the opposing quarterback. And Josh looked good in this game, but he didn't look great to me overall. And they rattled his cage. They got him off his game. You look at the very last play of the Bills on offense when he just lobbed that ball when he was being blitzed. And, you know, Kincaid didn't catch it. But, I mean, Josh was just off his game today overall because the defense, and I knew the one that was going to have the most pressure on him in this game was going to be Josh Allen because of the high expectation. There was talk about MVP and all that. But here's the thing. The offensive line, overall, I think they've been great this year, one of the tops in the league. But they failed to do what they were supposed to do, which was to protect Josh and to make this game happen for him and the offense. And then the defense, they couldn't even touch Mahomes. And, you know, I heard Chris Brown, there's more, you know, green grass in front of Mahomes. And what did he do? He gets two rushing touchdowns. Josh got none. And it was the, you know, the reverse during the season. And then the first time in their season, the Chiefs score 30-plus points. The Bills did not. When it counted, the Bills just didn't come through. I love this team. I've been an adamant fan since the 60s. But the bottom line is, when it comes to clutch time and when it matters, the Bills just do not have what it takes to win the big one against the KC Chiefs. And I got to say, this is a hard pill to swallow. Therefore, they don't deserve to be in the Super Bowl. And until they get over that hump, they're not going to. They got to do something. And I don't know what they can do, but until they can overcome Mahomes and Reed and Spags.
All right, Steve, I got to run, buddy. I got more calls on, all right? I know you're passionate. Steve likes to go a while. That's all. I'm not trying to be mean to him. I could give Steve his own show. He would open up the mic, and he would just keep going on that. So, Steve, you're right about a lot of things you said, and you're right. You don't deserve it if you don't win it, right? I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to win the game to deserve to get there. And I also wanted to move on because I can only squeeze one more call in the break, and Walter's been holding. So, Walter in Toronto, go ahead. You're up.
Hey, Sal. It's a tough day, but, you know, the Bills will be giving us some great excitement over the years. Sure beats the drought. I think... people are questioning Bean a little bit, and you know, it's tough. The draft is tough. Like, some guys you can hit and some guys don't, and it's tough. Drafts are tough. But what really irks me is, you know the way I like to use hockey references, right? And they say never trade within your division, right? So why would Bean allow KC to move up to get Worthy? Not that we wanted Worthy. I mean, we had our hearts set on Coleman. Right. I understand that. But why would you give your archenemy the opportunity to move up? I mean, it's just, it doesn't, I mean, 7-8 years ago, sure, we did that to give, and he picked up Mahomes. But first of all, they weren't an archenemy 8 years ago, and we didn't know what Mahomes was going to be like. But they could have offered us the state of Missouri, for heaven's sakes. We're not giving you the opportunity to pick who you want. And even the commentators last night, you know, they mentioned that,
Well, of course they do. Well, here, let me stop you for a second, Walter, because of course you have, I think you share the opinion of a lot of people. And I think Jeremy talked about this morning. I will still hold true that I don't care who you're trading with. You do what's best for your organization. The Chiefs, the Bills thinking was that we don't value anybody here. So we'll make a deal to make ourselves better. And they made a trade. And I know you say, well, then don't do it with Kansas City. Well, maybe they didn't have another partner. So what do? Do they take a player that they just don't value? Wait, hold on. What's the alternative? Just take a player you don't value there? Do you take a player that, because if they do, then if they take somebody, let's say they take Keon Coleman, let's say they take somebody else, well, then the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy anyway.
Well, what are the Bills benefit by doing that? I don't know all the details.
They get more draft picks and they get a better value. The draft is about value. And I'm not, again, I want this to come off as me explaining, not defending, okay? A lot of times people say, you defend. I just try to explain, all right? And I want you to understand, the draft is about value. And if you're sitting there at pick, where were they at that time? 27, whatever it was. And they're thinking 23, whatever. Hey, we don't have anybody really valued here. We'd rather move down, get proper value, and get extra draft picks. And I think the extra pick turned out to be Dwayne Carter, by the way. But either way, that doesn't matter. Could be anybody. But that's what they benefit for to ask answer your question. Because they feel, in that moment, by taking a player there that they don't value, then that's not the way to operate.
Yeah, no, and that all makes perfect sense. It was just hard watching that guy. What he got a touchdown on us. It was painful. But listen, Sal, love your show. Love you guys are like therapy on a day like today.
No,
and,
I try.
You know, I'll be there next year. The Bills eventually going to break through. All the best.
Everybody here listening will be. You know, thank you very much, Walter. Yeah, it's people could say I'm done. I can't take the emotion. Yeah, you'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be back after this timeout because we got to take a break here. Good calls to start the show. Yeah, I mean, I'm here if you want to tell me you're completely off your rocker and you should never, ever, ever, ever trade with the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand. I get it. And today was a day that, I mean, yesterday was a day that it showed up where that guy made some plays. By the way, one that might have not, maybe not, should not have been a touchdown, a catch. Either way, I think to me, the Xavier Worthy conversation is actually less about you trading with the Chiefs. I don't care about that. Trade with whoever you want to do it the right way in the draft for your team. Maybe they should have valued Xavier Worthy more. To me, that's the conversation about Worthy. Like, maybe they should have valued him more than they did. They just, right, we don't want a one-trick pony with speed. Well, look, you needed a speed guy, right? I mean, that was a talk all offseason. I don't care as much about who they traded with and yeah, so the Chiefs got him. I get it. It matters now, and it mattered then to a lot of people. Maybe the proper way to go about it for me is, I'm thinking, well, maybe you should have valued Worthy after we see now that this team had a lot of trouble separating, which we kind of knew coming into the year that they would be like that, especially on the perimeter. So that to me is more of the discussion about Worthy and Coleman. And I like Coleman. I think he's going to be a good player, and I've defended, hey, I think he makes... He's going to be a good player, and he's made good plays this year. He was a non-factor in the playoffs. He was a non-factor yesterday. Non-factor against the Ravens. And I know everybody eats, and you don't have to have one guy have these big monster games. But I'd like to see more from what is actually a second-round pick in Keon Coleman, not a first. My first-round pick in Dalton Kincaid. And the guy I traded for at the trade deadline, Amari Cooper, like all these, they didn't matter in the playoffs that much. Amari had a catch or two that, you know, helped out yesterday, but you didn't get enough from those players. That's kind of been the way they've operated this year, and it's worked for them, and it didn't yesterday. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on a Buffalo Football Monday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you live from Highmark Stadium here at One Bills Drive.
Looking left, pressure coming, fires a deep shot over the shoulder, and did he pull it in for a touchdown? Holy cow, Mac Collins did! It's a 34-yard touchdown strike from Allen to Holland.
Chris Brown on the call on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Mac Hollins was one of the Bills' best players on offense, definitely. Him and James Cook, really. Mac was the leading receiver for the Bills yesterday. 3 catches, 73 yards, including that spectacular 34-yard touchdown catch. He averaged 24 yards a catch. Mac Hollins, one of 12 pending unrestricted free agents for the Bills. I'll run through them for you. You can see them. I tweeted them out on X at Sal Sports. You want to take a look at that? Here are the Bills' pending unrestricted free agents. Mac Hollins is one of them. So is wide receiver Amari Cooper. Running back Ty Johnson. Fullback Reggie Gilliam. Offensive lineman Tommy Doyle, who hasn't played in 2 years, but his contract is up. Four defensive linemen. Quinton Jefferson, Jordan Phillips, Austin Johnson, and DeJuan Smoot. Cornerback Rasul Douglas. Safety DeMar Hamlin. Long snapper Reed Ferguson. I think Ty Johnson, to me, would be the number one priority in that whole list. I don't see that list and go, oh my God, you got to get this guy back or that guy back. The Bills actually are in a pretty good position roster-wise with the group they have. Now, there will be changes. And, I mean, at this point, I would think they would move on from Von Miller, but I'm not positive. I mean, they're not going to save a ton of money moving on from Von, but it would be something. I think like $8 million, I think it is, if they do it this year. $17 million if it's a post-June 1 cut, but you don't get that $17 million until June 1st, so it wouldn't kind of make sense. So I think you'd have to, you'd get the $8 million, you'd have some dead cap money there. Reed Ferguson as a long snapper, I mean, obviously you'd like him back. He does a good job, but you know that shouldn't be something that's too difficult to do. I think DeJuan Smoot helps, probably maybe one of the guys I look at, and of course Mac Hollins. I think Mac Hollins was good to have on this team, but they need to upgrade still more at wide receiver. They need more at that position than what they had this year, and that was a talk in the offseason about it. A lot of it, obviously, wide receiver train, but you know, as you move forward, I think there's a lot of areas you could address. It is proven now. I know in this game it wasn't the cleanest or the best, but it is proven Josh Allen can win without the greatest receiving core. He might be the league MVP, folks. And I think that at this point, looking at what the defense wasn't able to do again in the playoffs and looking at how they looked at certain points trying to stop teams, defensive line is still going to be a priority, as it has been quite often through this regime. But you know what else is going to be? Secondary. I'm good with the linebackers. I think Matt Milano started to be Matt Milano again. Now there are some age and injury concerns, no doubt. But hopefully you think, okay, he gets a full offseason now and the bicep thing happened, but he was starting to play like Matt Milano. You still have Dorian Williams there. You have Terrell Bernard, right? So even if you move on from Matt Milano, you still have Dorian Williams. Either way, I don't think they will move on from Matt considering the contract and the fact that he's still, I mean, yes, he's over 30 now, but he is, I think, just 30, 31. Either way, my point is secondary, corners. Corners have to be re-looked at here. Christian Benford's very good. He just had 2 concussions in 2 weeks. Rasul Douglas was not the same player, and he's getting older. And Cole Bishop is going to be a nice safety. Who's playing next to him next year? Taylor Rapp, I would think, and Cole Bishop, but you got to have more there as well. I think corner is a need for this team. Let's go to Nick in Buffalo on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hi, Nick.
Hey, appreciate you having me on. So just for context, I was born in 94, so I went through a lot of tough years. And it's cool to have all the success with Allen, and I truly believe with Allen we always have a chance. But the past couple of years, I always try to compare players to legacies of other players. And I thought of Josh as Peyton Manning, and I always wanted him to be a little bit better at the line and communicating. I think he did a great job of that this year, and that's why we were 10-0 at home when he was able to really thoroughly communicate to the team on like what he needed pre-snap. But Peyton Manning didn't win a Super Bowl until he was 30, and he had to get past Tom Brady, and Josh Allen's 28. I think Peyton Manning was year 9, Josh Allen's year 7, so it's kind of interesting. Peyton Manning had a lot more talent, I think, than Brady, but Brady always seemed to get it done, and that's kind of my optimism right now, if I could have any, is that hopefully Allen can have a career like Peyton and finally break through one day, and this city will always celebrate him, but that's what I'm holding on to, so thanks for my call.
So, yeah, Nick, you were born in 94, so you might have been too young when John Elway won his Super Bowls, I would guess, right? Do you remember those?
No, correct.
Okay, so John Elway.
2002.
Yeah, so John Elway came into the league in 1983 with Jim Kelly and Dan Marino. This was a great, great quarterback class of 1983 you probably heard about and seen. Yeah. And none of them could win Super Bowls. And Elway went to three and lost right around the same age that Josh is now, basically. He went to three out of four and lost. And, of course, right after that, Jim Kelly goes to four and loses. Marino goes to one. His second year in the league, he loses. Then he couldn't win. And then Elway wins it like in his mid-30s, finally. He wins back-to-back Super Bowls. In his mid to late-30s, actually. I think he was even closer to 40. But either way, finally did it. And you just never know when that's going to happen. So your optimism, I think, Nick, is great. It shouldn't be based on, to me, and that's fine. You can base it on whatever. I guess, to me, your optimism should be just the fact you have Josh Allen. I mean, I don't know. Analytically, traditionally, comparisons, all these things, guys getting over humps. We can make those comparisons all day. Right? I mean, none of it truly matters. There's not some magical, mythical formula that, you know, we saw this whole thing and Eric was pointing out how he loved the comparison of Michael Jordan in his seventh year, finally got over the Pistons. They were going for a three-peat. Like, that doesn't matter anymore. It's out the window. But you do have Josh Allen, and that's where this optimism should always lie with the Buffalo Bills until he's no longer in a Bills uniform. Or I guess, you know, not able to throw the ball much because he's super old. I don't know. Ann in Virginia. Hi, Ann.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for letting us decompress here. I wanted to ask your opinion about our very first snap when Josh ran the ball and and he didn't get far. And I watched that and I went, oh, no. Because it just seemed like a really odd choice for our first play. And it felt, you know, when you saw it, when we then went three and out and you saw that deer in the headlights look Josh was doing, does that relate to the greater play calling of the whole game?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've thought about this play a lot, actually, today. I'm glad you brought it up because I thought it was an interesting call. And here's my guess. I think what they wanted to do was come out in the game. And I think that Joe Brady and, you know, and the team said, Josh Allen's our guy. He's the MVP. It's his time. It's his game. We're going to show them right away that he's going to control this game. And I think that was more of a statement type of run, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And yes, it went for 4 yards. It went for 4 yards. I'm fine with a 4 yard gain, but I also agree with you that it was kind of an odd choice. I'm fine. Now it's second and six. The problem was the next two plays, though. Josh hits two Kansas City Chiefs defenders with the ball on the next two plays, and now they go three and out. It's second and six. I can deal with that. Now run the ball with James Cook. You might get to a third and three, much more manageable than third and six, obviously. I think that first play, and I thought a lot about this, I think that was the mentality of, I bet you all week they said, we're going to run Josh in the first play and show the Chiefs that he's going to win this game.
Gotcha. But geez, it seemed like it shook him. That he didn't get a first down by himself or something. I don't know.
I don't know if it shook him that way. I don't think he expects to run 10 yards on the first play of the game. But okay. I do think the Chiefs bottled him up pretty good all game. And I do think it was tougher for him to run. And that was obviously seen on the tush-push as well. But that's my take on it, and I appreciate the call.
There we go. Thanks, Sal.
You got it. Let's go to Russ in Eden. Hi, Russ. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hi, how you doing, Sal? Sal, I just wanted
you're good, thanks.
To based on the tush push, and I watched Philadelphia all game, and Josh, you know, and we kind of adopted, I believe, the New England where Brady falls off to the left side. But at the same time, we don't have that mask as we look at Philadelphia. They have the quarterback, two running backs, or two people behind them, and the center all pushing as one. On ours, we just have Josh hitting the line, and then the guys come up and start pushing them. So now we're dependent on our linemen to go one-on-one with their linemen. And I think that type of tush-push is a disadvantage when we're going to do it five times. I mean, yeah.
It's worked all year. I mean, other than the L.A. game and then until yesterday, it's worked all year the way they've done it. I think that maybe they should have changed something up in this game, to your point. I don't disagree with that. And what the Chiefs did was, according to Connor McGovern, I asked him about it, Russ. I said, well, what did they do? He said, well, first, they were very big. They got big guys in there, and they all squeezed. He said, then they were diving at legs and wrapping up legs and making sure nobody could move, basically. And, hey, I guess that's a good strategy. I'm not going to second-guess how they've done it all year, the formation, because it's worked. But certainly in this game, they probably should have done something different.
Well, yeah, I'm not actually second-guessing the total. It has worked. I'm just saying I wouldn't have minded them if they usually did the push, but use it as going up through center and having that match. Change it up, but still basically do a push. And you know, if you watch it a couple times, you're exactly right. McGovern was right. You could see the guys coming around the backside and grabbing behind Josh's legs. There was no question.
Yep.
A couple times you could see it. But
thanks, Russ. Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit, buddy, so I'm losing you, but I get your point. And yeah, for sure. Maybe I would have liked to seen in that situation, even like run. You can get under center and hand it off. They've been killing you with that. Maybe go off tackle with a run. If they're gonna plow in there and squeeze in, bring Reggie Gilliam in as a fullback. He's done a great job blocking all year, and go forward for, you know, a yard. A huge, huge critical part of the game was short yardage yesterday, including the tush-push plays. All right, we'll take another timeout. We'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Monday on WGR. All right, let's get to Michael in Atlanta before the top of the hour. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. Always great talking to you. Just like all the folks that call in, you know, really appreciate your sincere integrity, man, and your passion. Okay, so look, let me get a couple points off my chest real quick, and then I'll sum it up with some perspective. Okay, so in the game yesterday, I thought it was a failure when, you know, not to utilize Cook more often in the game. Key points of the fourth quarter, he's not even on the field. When he's running and running great, I mean, everybody eats, but that guy was having like an all-you-can-eat buffet. And not to keep him on the field, all, you know, more often in the second half, especially that last drive. The other thing is, you know, how about some play action, right? When the Bills were running successfully, none of that. And the officials, man, it's like every call, every bad spot for the Bills, every preferable spot for the Chiefs, you know, the ball hits the turf, it's a catch, right? You know, the first down, you know, they got ripped off on that. But, you know, you can't stomach all that stuff continually, man, without just being completely upset to your stomach. And anyhow, but perspective on the whole thing. Championship games, playoffs are for winners. The Bills are a winner. Yeah, we won a Super Bowl, definitely. How would you like to be a Jets fan? You know, where's your future? And so many other teams around the league looking for players just to have a winning season. You know, great to have a winning season. Oh, my gosh, if we could win our division, how wonderful. I mean, the Bills are going to be there. We got a 28-year-old quarterback with a great future, and hopefully we're going to get a compliment superstar on defense to get the defense to the next level. So I'd like to hear your input on anything I had to say. But, yeah, go Bills, man, and I'm looking forward to the next year and beyond.
Yeah, listen, Mike, I mean, I hear you, and you're right. You're not wrong about, where this team is versus where a lot of other teams are, right? A lot of other teams were doing locker clean-out weeks ago, and here we are every year doing it now 2 to 3 weeks into the playoffs. And that's a much better spot to be in. But I don't think I think it might even hurt even more when you're there. Excuse me. When the Bills were in their 17-year playoff drought, I remember being in this stadium towards the end of the year, and we were talking about the draft. It's like, we're just playing out the string. You're watching for evaluation. I mean, it sucked, but it didn't hurt as much, right? I mean, it hurt in some level, but not like this. That's what gets you hurting. But I hear you, man. You're right. It is a... The future is still bright. You still have Josh Allen. They don't have, like, really some massive free agents, a bunch of them that with big names. They're not going to go through the same transition as last year. There will be a little bit of that. I'm not here for the refs and the officials. I know that there were some controversial calls yesterday. That's not me, unless it was something. I mean, you could say it was blatant. I think it were just calls that didn't go their way that may have. You have argument that they should have, no doubt. They didn't play well enough yesterday. It wasn't like they played well enough and a call was terrible that swung the game. Okay, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. You got about a half hour left with me. Stay on hold if you're there. Give a call if you haven't. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio here on a Buffalo Football Monday. I'll be heading to the locker room for locker cleanout at 11:30. Zach and Josh will be taking over from there, but we still have plenty of time for your phone calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday.